Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Deirdre O'Kane podcast with SJ and Eva B. We are a three-way Zoom podcast and thanks for listening. 30s.
Hi.
What a gorgeous jumper.
Thank you.
It's so cute. And what about the length of it? Is it okay or is it too
short?
No, look. Jesus. I'm just so happy that that's been salvaged. You see, you could wear the shirt out under it. Even.
Yeah, I have been wearing it out.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. I leave them out. Oh, I'm delighted. I'm so delighted. I was heartbroken when I couldn't make it work anymore. I just thought, that's it. That's going into the...
And I remember this jumper on you. And I was wearing the grey one today. Hello, Eva.
Hi.
There she is in her gorgeous bed.
Hi, love.
How are you doing? Good, how
are
you?
We're grand.
Is that a hand-me-down? Are you...
I'm all my clothes. I'm dressed head to toe in D. Okay.
Everything like that I'm this. Too fat Look, for, I shrunk in the dryer, goes to SJ, which I'm thrilled about because it gives you a real pleasure, doesn't it, to see
things that I had to buy. I had to buy new jumpers. I gave away all the jumpers. I needed to get.
Did you wear the grey one? How was the grey one?
The grey one's a total triumph. Under the black coat with the...
And the terrible thing is they all look better, way better at her than they ever looked at me.
No,
you
know no that? That's not true. No, I remember totally seeing these on you and they looked gorgeous on
I hate
you.
Them.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
That one's particularly nice. It's lovely.
I loved it. I used to covet this one when I saw it on you. I was like, oh, she's fierce trendy, isn't she? I'd love to.
No, it's yours.
Trendy.
No, it's yours.
It's mine.
There you go.
Swaddled in D. O'Kane. Lovely.
Thank you.
And
so
I was given a bag of clothes for Dan. And honest to God, I can't tell you how much I love getting a bag.
Oh, yeah.
For kids, especially. Like,
it doesn't seem to happen anymore. I mean, it used to happen when they were toddlers.
Whenever I get to Dublin, Linda hands me bags of clothes. For Lewis, bags. And so she still has stuff for him for next year and the year after, like gorgeous clothes. It's amazing. So lucky.
And gorgeous, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, the bag I got for Dan. Now, half of it was no good. My cleaner has three boys, thrilled. I gave them to her. She was over the moon. And then the stuff I had, like there was a beautiful super dry jacket in it and lots of jeans. Perfect. Absolutely. He won't wear them, of course. He'll give it errands, but never.
I used to love giving away the bags of clothes as well when you just got rid of like drawers full of stuff that was clogging up the space. And he'd always sneak in a few like of the old muslin fucking, you know, cloths and stuff.
muslin.
Yeah, sneaking a few of those, get rid of the old. You know that they didn't want them either, but you're just like, it was a good excuse, a good way of getting rid of all your excess shite. I'll just shove all that in the bag. I'll hide it underneath some baby clothes. They'll never know.
Very good thing to do, to go through your wardrobe. We don't do it enough. I don't. I definitely need to get rid. I've done a bit now.
It's a great idea swapping with friends, though, as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it.
I have. That's not something that we do enough of.
I did it. Yeah, I did it once or twice in London. My friend Melanie did it. She hosted a clothes swap where you bring clothes. It was too posh for me. Oh my God. They were very fancy London ladies with their labels. And I thought, oh dear, don't think anyone's going to be going to the O'Kane bag.
Pennies.
I know, but you could be. I mean. Well, you know,
pennies.
€3.
Yeah, no, it was the wrong. Not right.
But did you score though? Did you do well out of it?
I got a couple of things, but they weren't things I wore, you know, over the years. You know, you end up taking things, maybe you just don't.
And you were never invited back.
I think she thought, no, she's not juiced. She's not the right girl. I did have a little blowout. Can you see me in a new jumper?
Oh,
I had a little blowout yesterday. Oh, it's a cashmere. And you know why I had the blowout? Because it's quite chunky. Oh. And even though now the cashmere is a blowout, as I told you about my two black sweaters last year, I just live in them in the winter and I don't wear anything else. So I have a uniform now, which I'm very happy with, pretty much. And that was so chunky. And it's a Zara jumper.
Oh, good for Zara.
Yeah. Like, I just thought, wow, it's like was like 100 quid.
They do great knits.
Yeah. But like you'd buy a 50 quid jumper for like a regular cotton one and be gone. Like you'd wash it. You might like it. You wouldn't wash it. Yeah. The thing is that I will wear it. You will ask me to stop wearing it. It'll be like, could we have a new view? Like any chance you could change your jumper? Because I just won't get out of it.
I'm the same though. When you've got a nice cashmere sweater like that.
No, that's it. You don't wear anything else. I had the two black ones, love. They come everywhere with me.
Yeah. Have you experienced cashmere socks by any chance? Oh, I was given a pair of cashmere socks last Christmas, I think it was.
Yeah.
Divine.
It's divine. It's like walking on little fluffy clouds. Oh, it's just like your feet being kissed all over all day long.
Gorgeous.
Did you hear that? Her feet being kissed all over. The writer in her there. Yeah. Jesus, lovely.
It's as good as it gets.
I wouldn't want anyone kissing my feet all day, I tell you. They'd be running a mile from
kissing
them.
Kissing their corns.
Yeah, there's never into anyone kissing my feet now. No.
Not a feet person.
No, get away. There's nothing nice about feet.
You're putting your toe in somebody's mouth. That's disgusting.
Feet. In the COVID times.
probably a safer part of your appendage to stick in somebody's mouth.
If you had a mask on you, maybe.
No, couldn't do it. Gross. Couldn't do it.
You know, the other bit that I think is absolutely disgusting is a tongue in the ear.
A tongue in the ear.
Steve, I didn't know what you were going to say there.
Like a toe in the mouth, a tongue in the ear. To get your tongue out of my ear. That's just vile. What are you thinking?
Really, when you think about it, though, it's all kind of disgusting.
It's all
like if it wasn't pleasurable, you'd never do it. Do you know what I mean? It's just a bit. You understand why kids go when they hear it. It's like, yeah, that's gross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there's delved deep there. I mean, that's just, you know, the little bit of, you know, light petting going on there. That's disgusting. We won't get all into the dirty stuff now. That's too.
People be into all sorts of things and all sorts of different arts.
Sorts of things.
No, yeah.
Hardened tunics.
appendages.
I love it. I love it. Like we're like 3 minutes in and already we're talking about anal sex. Oh my God.
I wasn't talking about anal sex.
Listen, I want to know about Adair Manor. You didn't ride your sister. That was the good news. And what and how was it just magnificent today and better than you remembered?
Do you see me? Do I have a glow? Do I have a
You do,
glow?
Love, but you always do.
You're very kind.
Did you have a little spa?
No, I didn't have a spa. No, I was there to work, but I didn't need a spa. My life has been completely transformed after spending 5 days in Adair Manor. I cannot tell you. Have you ever been there, Eva?
No.
Put it on your bucket list. I have decided that that is my place. That is my happy place. It is where I'm going to go to celebrate my 50th birthday, Ellie's 50th birthday, my 10th anniversary, which I couldn't celebrate 2 years ago because of COVID. We're old. my 20th anniversary, my 30th, should I be so lucky, should he still be with us? If he's not, I'll bring the two of you. It is the most, it's just an extraordinary. It's so beautiful.
I've got to stay. I like.
You have to stay there, yeah, girls. You have to stay there. Everybody should try if they can.
Listen, what does it cost? Gently, gently now.
It depends on the time of year. So a room around this time of year will cost you around 800 to 900 euros.
Ah! SJ, stop the lights.
Yeah, but you can
A night.
But you can get a room in January, February for half that, so 450
okay
for a night, which is what I would be doing, obviously. But what you get for that is a service, the level of which, and I've stayed in many a hotel, especially this kind of work that I do. And also I've been very lucky and been gifted to stay in other resorts. But there is a level of service in Adair Manor that is incomparable to anywhere else, because they are authentically themselves. They are so natural. So it's not pretentious. They all remember your name. I was absolutely floored every single day. Every single person that passed me in the hotel. Good morning, Sarah Jane. Good morning, Miss Drummy. Good morning. I couldn't fucking believe it. And it wasn't just me.
And that's a part of their five-star training. Like that's part of the deal. Yeah, amazing.
It's amazing, but it is like one big family, you know? And so they're very involved in what you're up to. Like, oh, did you enjoy the, I mean, and we were running an event for people, but it's so beautiful. And it's the people that make it the place that it is. And of course, yeah, the surroundings are just so beautiful. And I can't speak highly of it enough. Like, I feel.
Yeah, no, you've sold it to me. I'm definitely going to get a night at the nice rate, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's something magical about getting the five nights in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say you settle into a way of being.
Absolutely. And I knew I was so lucky to be there, and we were working, but you don't really feel like you're working there. I mean, because everything is, you know, that you're in good hands. You know that every single person who's there is doing their job to the best of their abilities. It was incredible. And Caroline and I were there together, and we were working together, but just having the laugh. And they have these bikes in the hotel. So you can just go off on the bike, you know, around the grounds. You can just explore it yourself, go for big walks. There's a lake and a river. But I would cycle the bike down to the gate, the pedestrian gate, where you can go into Adair Village, and then you can back.
And the village is so pretty.
So pretty.
You had lovely weather this autumn.
Really lovely weather. Yeah.
Idyllic too.
Yeah, it was idyllic. And so I really recommend it. And we'll do it. I'll definitely go there again. It's the sort of place you go, I'm going to go again.
Will we record a podcast there?
Hello. Yeah.
If you can remember the time, dude, and the day.
Oh, I have a feeling that's one you'll remember. That's one that'll stick in the.
I think I'll rock up for that one. Yeah. I think I'll lock up for that.
Anyway, do it.
Sounds fabulous.
It was fabulous.
And your week, Eva, was that a busy working week? Filming?
Yes. Yes.
You're the same as me, aren't you? I can't remember. People say to me, how was your weekend? And it's gone from me by Monday. Yeah. I mean, by Tuesday, I'm like, God, I'd have to have a good old route. I'd have to real thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look back at photos to try and trigger the...
I went to Kew Gardens. Yeah. Mm. I worked on Saturday, actually. We had a 6-day week. We're behind schedule, so we're doing 6-day weeks to try and catch up, unfortunately. Yeah, and off to Ireland tomorrow.
You're coming to the Southern Island tomorrow.
I am.
Will we see you?
Northbound initially. Yes, but I have the schedule keeps changing. I'm going to try and pop down to Dublin for a couple of days. Thursday, Friday, I might be in Dublin, schedule permitting. So, but
yeah. Well, sure, listen, we'll hear if we hear from you.
We'll hear from you.
Get in a car and have a glass of Prosecco somewhere.
Do I hear maybe a lunch?
Yes. I don't know now. Will you be ringing your microphone? Maybe we squeeze in an old podcast. We'll be due one by then anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. What's next weekend? What date is that? It
would be, I suppose that's true.
Oh, we'd squeeze in an old lunch or something, all right?
Oh, yeah. I think so, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Glorious. I'd love that.
Are you not working?
I don't know. Who knows?
What have you been doing, Dee? What were you working on the last couple of days?
I was filming a sizzle reel for a pilot on Monday. I thought it would be nothing, but actually it was... a couple of scenes and quite a bit of dialogue. It was lovely to be an actress again. I hadn't been an actress for a while. So I thoroughly enjoyed it, I have to say. The old bit of dialogue. So I was filming on Monday. And today I was doing storyboard, like a CBeebies, Jack and Ori story.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do one of them, actually.
Yeah, very fun.
Yeah, really lovely thing to do. Yeah.
And their comedy writers have kind of rewritten. So Alison Spittle had rewritten Billy Goat Scruff and
very good.
The Banana Bread Man instead of the Gingerbread Man.
Very
good. Yeah, they were really good. So that was today. And then what did I do? And then I went and did a bit of radio to promote my Sky show, which goes out on Sunday.
Oh, very good. Exciting.
Even you can see it, Eva.
I can watch something over this.
I actually saw a trailer for it. I clicked on to Sky last night just to say, I wonder, will they play a trailer? And they did, and I got an awful fright. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh.
And how was it?
Good. I mean, good, and as good, you know, as you can possibly think these things are when you're looking at yourself. Because
yeah,
I mean, I just thought I looked about 100, but your look, nobody cares about that. Let's not go there; it's too boring. But you know,
and you don't.
You look fabulous.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, that's So the launch for that is tomorrow night. So I have been flat out. Yeah, and Gogglebox in the morning, and it's just been
busy. Full on.
We had
meet the teacher meetings today.
Oh, how'd that go?
Go when you know you have your parent teacher meeting. It was good actually. It was really good, but it did make me think of. Do you remember your school reports when you were in primary school?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Primary, I don't remember. I remember secondary school.
Do you remember secondary school?
I don't remember getting reports in primary school.
Not? Oh, I do. I remember getting them in the envelope and trying to gently peel open the envelope on the way home before you hand them over to your folks to see if you got a good report card or not.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Well, my memory is jogged today because Jessie's teacher was full of praise, but the things she did flag up was he's quite a daydreamer and also being, you know, the Joker, wanting to sort of make people
laugh,
and which I always got giddy. Giddy was the word that always cropped up on my report cards every time. Giddy and daydreamer. They're the two.
Daydreamer. I was accused of the daydreaming, which is no surprise there. And a bit of the old entertaining, yeah.
Yeah. I don't recall ever getting a very bad one, though. Did you ever get any bad ones?
No, because I was a good kid. I was just a dreamer and out the window and not attentive and all those kind of things. But I was a difficult person, you know? That's nice. It's nice to hear nice things, Richard. Lovely. If that's the only bad thing, that's all right.
Yeah,
there's nothing bad about that either.
No. And she very much got his character. You know, she sort of got a good sense of
who he is,
what he is and who he is, and didn't she was by she was by no means saying that the Joker and the giddiness is a bad thing. She's saying she just needs to learn when it's appropriate and when it's not.
He needs to know his audience.
We all need to know that, don't we? Ourselves. I took a risk.
Can't wait for you to have yours with Lewis.
Oh, yeah, we've had a few already. Not in Ireland. You know, we had them in Spain. What can they say at that age, really, you know?
I'm just thick.
Yeah.
You could say that.
Yeah, listen, lads, would you take this child for a bit of help?
They could say all manner of things.
I don't think they would, though, would they? Very relieved when they come out at that age.
No.
All I remember is the secondary school reports. Deirdre talks too much and spends a lot of time looking out of the window. She talks too much, just always distracting the class, looking out of the window. And I was terribly busy. I remember having great chats in my head with Bob Geldof in particular. Bob and Terry Wogan. I'd have the chats with Terry and Bob.
Well, like you're being interviewed by them, or were you doing the interview?
I was doing the interview and they were interviewing me. We'd have phone conversations. Bob Geldof in particular now. I'd have chats with the Bob.
Is this all around the same time as Live Aid now? Did you have a few notions now?
Oh, God, no, this would have been long before Live Aid. I don't remember. I don't even really remember. What year was Live Aid?
It was 1985.
Oh, it was 1985. That was the year I left school. Maybe it was that.
Why Bob now? Did you fancy him? Were you a Boomtown Rats fan? Like, what was the... Why Bob?
I don't remember fancying him, though I do now. He'd be very much my type now. He'd be my... I like the cut of him now. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know why. I think I just must have seen him on the telly and thought he was great or something. But when I was hosting the IFTAs and he was getting an old award and he was there in front of me, I made a couple of jokes and I was looking directly at him and he came up on the stage and he said to me, "You're doing a great job."
Oh.
And I just said to him, "Jesus, now, isn't it an awful pity that teachers can't see me now and I out the window chatting to you in my own head for years?"
Now, would you stick his toe in your mouth?
No, Leva, I wouldn't actually stick anyone's bloody toe in your mouth. Not even Mark Ruffalo, my favourite.
Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, I have a thing for the Mark Ruffalo. He'd be a high amuse.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that one. Sexy.
Yeah, you can see that now. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Mm. I wouldn't Mark Ruffalo's toe. I wouldn't even be bothered now.
No. When I was growing up, I clearly had a thing about men with moustaches because I had Daley Thompson, Tom Selleck, and Ian Botham.
Jesus, Mary Joseph.
So weird.
Very odd. Very
big,
odd.
Big, burly, moustached men. I was about 10.
Ian Botham had that lovely hair, though, didn't he?
Oh, he had a mullet, I think you'll find.
He had a mullet. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian Botham had that lovely hair, she said. The mullet. lovely hair that's short at the front and long at the back. Yeah, what's all that?
The mullet. And a moustache.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a question for you. Can you remember the first boy that you kissed?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a nice experience or a bad one?
Well, there was one guy who I'm still going out with him because we were dared to kiss and we went out with each other. But we never got around to breaking up. So I suppose we're still together.
Yeah. You are, yeah.
and that was a dare. That was like, you know, spin.
Oh, back to a dare.
back to a dare. But there weren't, it was very innocent. But then when there was a proper kiss, yeah, I remember him.
I do, yeah.
Now, when we're saying proper kiss, do we mean
tongues?
We mean tongues, yeah.
Like a shift, you know, like.
I remember.
Yeah.
Bracey from.
I was very young. And yeah. I was asked this on the big deal that he asked me a question. When was your first kiss, dear? And I answered it straight away without much thought. And I said, 12. And I only realised when I said it, God, that is really very young. Like, the kids, I told him, was saying to you before.
No, I was about 12 now. As well.
Yeah, I was 13.
I think it's because we had no phones and no screens. We had nothing to do.
Nothing else to do. Spin the bottle.
Nothing else to do. Go out on the road and hang out on the road, hang out in the field. Smoke fags. Yeah, smoke fags. Wander the streets.
Smoke fags. Spin the bottle and British Bulldog.
Get on a bike, go to the beach, whatever, you know. But I mean, you were hanging out. Like, they're not doing that now. They're not snogging. They're not snogging at 12.
When I hear the things that they were getting up to in Taos in New Mexico, I was like,
oh, well, they were wild now, right?
It's just different times. And also when you hear from a boy's perspective, God, it makes me so happy that I don't have a girl because, 14-year-old boys, they'd be looking for one thing.
God almighty.
Yeah.
I don't think you would say now there's plenty of girls willing to give it. There'd be some wild ones and I suppose the odd, but I don't think that's the case of the majority of girls.
Is it not?
I don't think so. Now, I can only really be talking of my own experience and my nieces and the kids that I know. And maybe they are a privileged background, not wildly though, you know, middle class background, but definitely no. You hear the stories of the odd girl that's looking for attention and a bit wilder, you know, the odd one, but they're definitely the odd one, not the majority, you know. But I get the impression that it's much later, like 16, 17, 18, before there's any kissing and stuff going on, which is interesting.
Which is good to hear, isn't it?
I think it's much better.
I think it's normal. That's a great age to be doing all of that. It was perfect age.
Fumbling around in long grass and Jesus, none of it was pleasant. None of it was pleasant. I was just doing it because it was nice.
Wistful and romantic there. The lovely grass.
All
setting.
It was all awful, stony and hard, and
gravel.
Somebody pushing your breast so hard that you thought, "Oh my God, I'm actually in pain, but I can't say anything." You know, remember that?
Like, oh, of course,
beating it like, "Oh my God," like worse than a mammogram, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought the mammogram. Maybe that's why I thought the mammograms were easy. All the bad experiences. I thought, "Oh, here, this is fine."
How old were you when you had your first good kiss, like good sexual experience?
Kiss or sexual experience?
Sexual experience, like where you go, oh, yes. I was 15.
16.
Yeah, I would have been 16 when I got a snog. That was delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? Where you're aware enough to go, do this, have a snog and, you know.
Yeah, because that's all it was earlier. You know, it's just
exactly. You just don't really know what you're
poking
doing.
Poking around the place,
So, I was 15 when I was like, oh, okay, this is excellent. This is how it should be.
Yes, this is excellent. Thank you. This is excellent.
I will but do here this you
again. Go. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. But I was very late to have sex by choice.
What do you call very late? Like 18 or?
I was 23.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised because you're the wild one.
Oh, yeah. I'm so surprised because you're a slut.
I know.
I'm 23.
I was 23 years of age. Yeah. I kept putting it off because
I just don't even understand how, because you were off at college. Like,
so here's why. So when I was 15, 16, there was a guy that I really liked and I was like, yeah, I would with him. But then it just wasn't working out because there was all, you know, like teenage drama, or he was, you know, he went off with somebody else. He was going out with somebody else. And it was just when the moment came where I could have, I was like, no, it's not right now. I'm going to wait. And then I just said, no, I started to feel like, actually, no, I'm not just going to give it up. I'm just going to wait until it's the right moment. And then then I ended up going to college. And because I'd put it off, and believe me, I had plenty of fun. There was plenty of fun.
I don't doubt it. Like,
it just got to the point where I was going, no, I had waited long enough that I thought, I'm just going to wait for the one that I want to. And also, I was very late to develop myself, like physically. You know, I didn't have a period till I was 16. So I was kind of slow in the physical sense that I just knew that it wasn't going to be right. And I had friends who were having sex and it wasn't a very joyful experience for most of them. And I
no, that's the thing.
And so I kind of was like going from experience. If it's not going to be great, then why would I bother, right? So, and then, and I put it off so much that by the time I was ready, I met a guy at a party and I said, I am going to take you home and I am going to fuck you. And that's what happened. And we ended up going out together and it was great. I was ready. I was just ready.
You're so mature.
You're so sensible.
Mature.
so sensible.
And it was in the driving seat. I love it.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it. He was like
delighted.
He just couldn't believe it. This is bullshit. Like this.
Oh, what? That you're a virgin?
That I was. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean you're delighted. He was delighted by that. I thought you meant he was delighted that you suggested going home and having sex.
No, he just couldn't believe it. And then, it was great. It was such a great experience. And then from then on, it was just like, all right.
Oh, the gloves are off. Yeah, she didn't waste time then.
Yeah, and I was so glad that I waited.
We're able for it. Oh, yeah, very smart.
Yeah.
If I said it once, you're very smart.
Well, I wasn't all that smart for lots of other you still get yourself into it.
I think that was very, you know, you had a sense of self. I certainly didn't.
Yeah. Yeah,
you had you protected yourself to wait that long, and you know what I mean. You were able.
It's very smart.
To know, I don't think it's going to be enjoyable now. Yeah. You know, and get the right person. Wait, I'm ready.
Yeah, sure, exactly what you'd want your own child to be like. You know?
Yes.
I kind of had put it off that so long that now it's a thing. It's a little bit like Paris. I didn't get to go to Paris till I was 40 because I wanted it to be perfect. And it was. It was just the most perfect trip to Paris. And it's the control freak as well in me. I was like, no. I know it's going to be great. And so how old were you?
I was 17. But it was in a serious relationship that I met him at 16 and we were together till I was 20.
You so see, that's like, a great one.
Yeah, the 4-year relationship. I was in love with him, had a gorgeous relationship with him. Yeah. So we were both each other's first and the similar age. And so it felt right and it felt safe and felt loved. And I mean, it was dreadful, of course, the first time. But there was a lot of love there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, listen, that's awesome. Same age, in love. That's kind of perfect, right? That's that's perfect. I was almost 19, 18, almost 19. Really, I think it was fine. And I wasn't like in love. I was just kind of in it and enjoying it and fine and just sort of ready. So I was just like, just got this show on the road. grand. it wasn't awful. You know, I was was mature enough for it, you know, it was fine.
I said dreadful there, but it was by no means a dreadful experience. We just didn't know what we're doing.
But at least you both don't know what you're doing together. And that's
exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
It was actually very sweet in looking back. It was very sweet.
Yeah. Whereas later, I'm sure we probably all experienced being with somebody who's older. Not good. Not good. Maybe this is all a bit too personal now.
I've been with all kinds, all older, younger, all of them. Yeah. Why, in what way? How much older though?
No, I just don't think it works, you know, say 10 years maybe, you know, or that you kind of, they're different. They've got more experience than you. They want things. They know what they want. You're still an idiot and you haven't a clue really. And you just want to go with the flow. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then it just feels a bit, you're left feeling a bit sullied. I think I had a lot of that. You know, where I thought, oh God, so many, a lot of disappointing experiences. I have to also acknowledge the good ones because of course there were great ones too.
Mm.
But in there, I was very willing to try a lot, again and again and again and again.
Yeah, you do.
Just a lot of disappointment.
Until you find
in
the right
there.
Person. Yeah,
but a lot of disappointment. I remember meeting somebody and her telling me, oh God, no, I don't have casual sex. And me thinking, oh, really? Oh, Jesus, really? Come with me. I really need to cop on to myself. Far too casual, far too easygoing.
I think I had
to. And then wondering why it's not good, you know, like a dope.
But you see, you can get lucky though. You can get very lucky with casual encounters as well. You know,
majority of them now, to my memory, the majority of the casual encounters weren't up to much. They had a nice time, I think.
Well,
and I always envy men that. I mean, really, for them, it is a much easier.
It is
situation. It's easier for them to, you know.
Yeah,
reach a point where it's satisfying, but really, God Almighty, for us now, a casual thing is not.
Yeah, especially with somebody that you don't know, because I think for us to have a great time, and you really need to get to know each other, and teach what it takes to have a great time.
Yeah, and be really into that person. Yeah, you know,
that's why after when I finally
unleash the beast. As you now be known as the beast.
I certainly made up for last time. And there was a few years I had like 3 monogamous relationships in a row from the age of 23 to 27. And then from 27 to 30, it was, okay, I need to be single for a while. So that by the time I met Ellie, I felt like I've had enough sex with enough people to go, yeah, I know what I like. I know who I am. I know the sort of partner I want, because I felt like if I'm going to make a choice for a husband and the father of a child, this is the one person I'm going to be having sex with the rest of my life. I really don't want to fuck this up. Mm. So like, I feel so sad for so many people of our parents' generation. Okay, some of them got lucky, but a lot of them didn't, you know?
They didn't even
have sex with each other before they got married.
No, that was like, ridiculous.
Crazy. It's so important. Yeah. Like, just crazy that you...
Very important, yeah. I agree with you. And I was the same as you. I was very ready. You know, by the time I met Steve, I was done now with the casual carry on. And I was just like, okay, I need to get out of this. I'm done. I've had enough drummers now to.
Oh, Jesus, you as well. I was keen on the drummers as well.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were into drummers also.
I had a couple of drummers, yeah.
I had about five of them. What the fuck?
Jesus, I don't think I had five. There might have been two or three. Or musicians, anyway. There's a few musicians.
The rhythm section.
A few bands, you know, yeah. I had a few bands. But I do remember very clearly reaching that point of, oh, Jesus, I cannot do this anymore. I'm done now. I'm really, really, I'd like a relationship now. Yeah. And I thought this casual madness, I was done, absolutely done. But I think that my naivety, you know, in kind of being quite open to the casual thing was the culture of the time. I think I was looking, whatever you were seeing in movies or whatever was happening, it was still... you know, like casual sex or having sex, like, you know, on first or second dates was absolutely de rigueur. It was not a thing. That's why I remember being taken aback when someone said to me, a girl I was working with said to me, oh God, no, I don't have casual sex. And I was really, it was the first time I'd heard someone saying that. It was almost like you were the freak if you didn't at that time. Yeah. And that has changed. And that I think it has anyway. I mean, I'm no expert on what's going on now with the young ones, but I don't know. Are they as willing to?
I genuinely have no idea. Life is long and you should try and have some sex before you're dead. Seriously, though.
Before you die.
You really should. My grand auntie May is just the most amazing woman. She was 99 when she passed away. Just the most gorgeous woman. Never married, no children. And she was a businesswoman. She was so brilliant. She was interested in everything, every single thing that came her way. She could barely see, but she'd be like, oh, isn't that a beautiful top there now? Oh, it's a lovely pink. Where did you get that? And she'd be down to Marks and Spencer's the next day to get it. And then she'd return it the following day just so that she could always be busy. And she was amazing. She really was. She was brilliant.
She did.
She always had the most recent creams and she was just amazing. And we shared a birthday, 3rd of March. And she was asked once, do you have any regrets? And she said, I do. I would love to have had sex. Because I'd have loved to know what all the fuss is about.
Oh, my God, that's heartbreaking.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
Here's this.
A different time,
you know.
Because when it's good, my God, it's the best thing ever.
Oh, but it's good. It's great.
To miss out on that is just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That's really sad. Yeah, you're after breaking my heart there now. Wasn't she quite the woman as well to say that, to articulate that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She was extraordinary.
I admire her. Yeah, she obviously was extraordinary.
She was.
To be able to say that, you know.
Oh, I love it.
A lot of people would take that to the grave and quietly. But there must have been a lot of people at that time as well who were the same.
Mm-hmm.
The fear around getting pregnant then, you see, that was the real fear. That was the real risk.
Bloody hell, and rightly so.
And rightly so, yeah.
But listen, we won't go down that road.
No, and you ended up in a laundry. That's basically what happened then. Yeah. So the fear was enough to stop you.
That's another podcast.
I think we've come full circle. It started with good sex, bad sex, in between sex, ready, not ready, young, too old, never had sex, and we've ended on the laundry. I think we're done.
And good night.
And good night.
Perfect. We that's great timing. Yeah. That's it.
That's great. That's 10 to 9. I'm out of here.
10 to 9. It was a quickie. A quickie. And that's what we call it. A quickie. Yeah. It'll be the podcast title for this week.
A little quickie. Thank you for listening to our little quickie today. And to all of you out there who are helping to spread the word, it's working. We're getting new listeners by the week and we're only delighted with them. And we're only delighted with ourselves as a result because it helps keep the podcast going. So thank you and we'll see you all next week.
This podcast is powered by the Acast Creator Network.